flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's your boys. Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Hope you're having a great Tuesday. Mike, we got a lot to chop up today coming off of another Hawks loss. Our buddy Mark Raimondi is going to stop by in about 15 minutes from ESPN. He covers our Falcons. And we spent a lot of time yesterday, and we will continue to talk about it because it's a big deal. Jeff Ulbrich, becoming our defensive coordinator, addressing the media, and talking to us about what he wants to try to do. Now, he's not getting into specifics because he has not yet quite done the breakdowns of what he wants to look at as to who played well last season, guys, who didn't.
Right.
What does he think we need? Now, generally speaking, I don't think this is that this hard, but I respect the process, and we got to give him some time to do it. But, Mike, one of the things he said yesterday, and you found this fascinating, and we start the show, and I want to play this for you guys. He talked about what he learned as a head coach, and I'm going to let you explain what you said to me earlier, but this is Jeff Ulbrich, our defensive coordinator, talking about when he took over for the Jets.
Not just as a defensive coordinator, really as an assistant to Ra, too. You know, I learned even more than I knew the value of truth tellers on your staff. You know, I think sometimes as an assistant coach, you take it as I'm going to eliminate every problem from the head coach's table so he can just thrive and do his thing. When in reality, like, yeah, there's some things you need to take off a head coach's table. There's certain things that need to be told to the head coach that are occurring. Because a lot of times what I found in that interim role was, although it was interim, it was like I felt the shift and the way people talked to me and treated me and what they said to me and the lack of truth sometimes was really detrimental, you know. So it reinforced the idea that Ra's going to need me in that way to make sure that I'm always telling him the truth and maybe, you know, eliminating some of the blind spots that he doesn't see.
That's interesting. And that's, I heard that, and you know, we talked about the X's and O's and how his relationship with Rob. But that's interesting. You become head coach, and all of a sudden there's a filter now. And now nobody wants to tell you the truth. Like, hey, these guys can't do the job you're asking them to do. And that was the question. You know, remember, we asked Rob about a number of times up at camp on our weekly visits on Wednesdays at Flowery Branch. So what Jeff is saying is now I get kicked upstairs with the Jets, and all of a sudden now, what, all of a sudden people go, oh, no, it's good. We're good. And as the defense starts going sideways, well, Hassan Reddick just joined the team. We're good now, right? No. So I like it. Now, if he's going to be a no-nonsense, you know, BS filter ripped off, okay, then maybe I'm not as down on this, this very comfortable hire, Carl, as I was a few weeks ago.
Yeah, look, I felt better yesterday after hearing him, again, be humble. He didn't come in here pounding his chest. I'm the best defensive coordinator.
Right.
Dude, I've learned. I had made some mistakes. We were okay when I was here before. I left. I feel like I'm a better coach. We're not going to do the same things we did before. All of that is positive to me. And, Mike, I agree with you. Here's the interesting thing. Does this make you think that Jimmy Lake was doing that? That Jimmy Lake was saying, no, we're fine. No, coach, he can do it. We can get this done. Do you think he was being a truth teller as he needed to be? Because, again, some of this stuff, guys, is brought up because these are the conversations that the new DC and the head coach have had. And maybe Ron was like, look, I want to get in the full 411 for my last guy, man. I got to make sure. And I've been saying this, Mike. You got to put somebody in there you can trust so I don't have to put my efforts into making sure the defense is working correctly. I'm just saying, I don't know if he did, but wouldn't it be interesting if that was the situation and then we get to the bye week and Ron's like, wait a minute. Everybody's seeing this isn't working. Like, I'm jumping in here, and then things got better.
Yeah, two ways of looking at it. Or did Ra, you know, try to convince himself that Jimmy Lake can do this? Jimmy Lake can do this. No, he's got this. I may have hired a guy who's never done this at the NFL level, but I know he can do this. And then he goes, okay, he can't do this.
Yeah.
So whether there was some look in the mirror moments for Coach Ra, but I like, you know, I get it. We discussed it with your season and your career on the line, which is this is it, man. You have this is 2 years. This is year two for Ra is playoffs or you're fired, okay? And if Arthur Blank doesn't, then I think a lot of Falcon fans are saying, I'm out. I think most people see it as you got to make some trend. You got to make some headway. Got to get traction. And the same goes for the GM. Because, you know, here we are. You know, a team which is just spinning their wheels. We got a great thing going offensively. Give credit where credit's due. You've got to fix this defense. And I know already folks are diving to Chrome, getting all these mock drafts, this and that. I would love to know, you know, where's Ulbrich and Ra and how much are they riding shotgun on this defensive draft? You know, how much? And that's one thing I'd like clarity on from last year, too.
Okay. So let's talk about that for a second. 404-726-0929. It's our text line. You can find us. Find us on social media. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm going to put him up. See Dukes. And this radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. You cannot hire a new defensive coordinator and not allow him to have 100% autonomy on these are the kinds of players I want. This is the kind of guy that I need to help us get better. And you have to trust it. Guys, nobody's 100%. There's no GM that's 100%. There's no head coach that's 100% or defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator. But, Mike, you have to. Because if you don't, what you're doing is you're cutting him off at the knees and you're saying, I want you to coach guys that I'm going to select as a general manager that I think fits, that I think is going to work in what you're telling me you want to do. And that is – you're not going to win that way.
Right.
So I believe wholeheartedly – not only is he in the forefront of the decisions, whatever we do, if we pick a first-round edge guy, that is all Jeff Ulbrich. I'm telling you guys right now, that is not Terry Fontenot. Terry Fontenot is going to say, fine, I'll draft whoever you need me to, but this is the guy I need to make a difference. It has to be that way, guys, because if the GM is picking, it's going to screw things up. Ask the Dallas Cowboys.
Right. Now, we need Ruka Roro to come in here and to really be that kind of, you know, oh, I know. Guy the Eagles have, you know, any of those dudes in the middle of the defensive line to be the disruptive force, which makes everybody else better, which helps Ebikadie, which helps whoever we're going to draft. That's got to happen. So I hope, you know, with all the new changes, new defensive line coach we talked about, that you're maximizing the talent and hopefully validating some curious picks by our general manager. Can Troy Andersen come in here and actually stay healthy for a season? Is he going to show you the ability to be that, you know, guy that can cover a tight end, can cover a running back out of the backfield, you know, can go sideline to sideline? I mean, some of the guys we have here haven't been shown the ability to, number one, stay on the field or contribute. So that's hopefully something you can maximize, but then he gets back to the truth-telling. You drafted some bums! You know, let's hope that's not the case and they can fix it.
No doubt.
Bum.
This is fairly easy when you say Jeff Ulbrich has to digest and kind of dive in and see what the 2024 defense did. Let me help you. Three of the four major categories, we sucked. We weren't any good. 23rd in total yards, 22nd in passing. Teams were throwing for over 230 yards almost against us every game. And then we were 23rd in scoring defense, giving up 25 a game. All those numbers have to come down. Oh, and then there's the big one, 31st in sacks. This is not a deep dive. This is identify the problem, Mike, and solve it.
Right.
Either you have the dudes to solve it in the room, who are currently on the team, or you don't. And if you don't, then you need to identify who you need to go get. For me, I get what he's saying. I want to watch tape. I want to see all the snaps, and that's great. Coaches, good coaches do that stuff. But for me, Mike, I'm looking at this, and I'm going three of the four major categories that make great defenses we weren't good at.
Right.
How do you correct it?
Yep. And we already covered, you know, the semantics of the 3-4-4-3. Like, you're in the nickel so much, we get that. You know, there's so many things offenses, as Jeff said yesterday. Offensive coordinators are coming up with new and improved stuff every week. So, all right, just find the guys at work. You got to get two more starters in your secondary. You got to upgrade. Where are you standing? We can do this kind of go person by person a little bit later. We got all offseason to do it. But right now, just free agent-wise, D. Alford, Mike Hughes are free agents. We've talked about Judon is not coming back. I would imagine Justin Simmons is not coming back based on his performance. So, you know, you got a lot of holes to fill, and you've got a lot of guys that have had their shot, like Clark Phillips, who we keep talking about. A couple years ago, we were really excited about DeMarco Helms. Does he get back in someone's good graces, or is he limited? So, you know, there's just – when you go through the defensive roster, there's not a lot of stuff there. There's just not. So, and that's not hating. I mean, I'm not reminding Falcon fans, you've seen it the last few seasons.
I think, Mike, the pro personnel department has to do a good job of saying, we have a guy. Is it worth re-signing him? Or do we identify other guys around the league who we think are better? This is, by the way, where Terry Fontenot succeeded at a very high level before he became the general manager.
Wasn't that why he got hired here, in part?
Well, it was...
what he did in New Orleans, right to your point.
That's what he did in New Orleans. And all I'm saying is, to your point, like, that's what they have to do.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Someone else got side that not the college side, guys. They're two different departments. The pro side has to say, you know what? Is there another guy in, oh, I don't know, Washington, Seattle, Chicago, that we feel like and we've seen that plays what we want, how we want to play, and is better than what we currently have? And that is a decision, Mike, when you start saying what guys are leaving and what guys are going. I think it's not just about the college guys or the undrafted guys. It's also about who around the league potentially is going to be available, and are they upgrades from what we currently have?
And now on the other side, we've spent so much time talking about defense. You know, if you said, you know, there's always a will, there's a will, there's a way with the cap space. We're hoping the cap's going to go up. Last year, we had a huge increase in the cap. It won't be that big, according to who is it we had on last week?
Our Joel Corey.
Joel Corey, our capologist expert. But one thing, just real quick to consider, on the offensive side, we've got a guy that I like. I think he's been a solid piece in Storm Norton. He's an unrestricted free agent. That's a swing guy that certainly plugs in at the right side or anywhere he's asked. Dahlman at the center position is also a free agent. They can walk, guys. So there's a couple of things and some dollars you have to spend on the offensive side. I know we've said we're going to focus a lot on the defense.
I'm with you. 404-726-0929. What do you guys think as we talk about what will stick out about the collapses that we had? Vikings, Commanders, Broncos, Panthers. What personnel changes are needed? That's what we're talking about, and that's why we bring up our new coordinator, because part of his job, and it may be the biggest part, believe it or not, it's not going to be on the field. He knows what he's doing. It's how do you solve these other things, Mike, and get the right players in here. All right, coming up, we got a lot more to get to. Mark Raimondi is going to join us, ESPN Falcons reporter. We'll get his take on everything that was said yesterday as we continue to talk about our team here in the ATL. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. P-A-D-L-Y buys.com. We are talking about our Falcons as we get ready for the countdown to the Super Bowl. And it's going to be a long one because we get next week before we get into, you know, the particulars of what's going to happen. And then the teams arrive and all of that stuff and the pomp and circumstance. Look, New Orleans will put on a great Super Bowl. They always do. And I think we're going to get a good game. But in the meantime, there's stuff going on with our football team that we're trying to figure out. Yesterday, Jeff Ulbrich spoke for the first time to the media, and Mark Raimondi, who covers the Falcons for ESPN and ESPN.com, was there. And Mark, you know, Mike and I, we kind of dissected some of the sound bites and things that he said yesterday. He also came on our radio station with Andy and Randy, and you can check out that interview at Odyssey.com. What was your take on the press conference and his tone, his demeanor, and what stood out to you?
I thought he did a good job. You know, I thought he showed some humility. You know, he kind of owned up to some previous mistakes, whether they be, you know, when he was here before or when he was with the Jets. So I thought he had an interesting line about how he didn't delegate when he became the interim head coach of the Jets, and he took on the role of, you know, the head coach and still retained the defensive coordinator responsibility. So I thought that, you know, he showed some humility. He didn't go into anything specific about, you know, what is this defense going to look like? He spoke kind of in platitudes about that stuff, you know, talked about, you know, looking, you know, having the defense be in multiple and kind of a lot of the same stuff that Jimmy Lake said last year about, you know, some 3-4, some 4-3. You know, Ulbrich's been kind of a 4-3 guy throughout his career, so we'll see how that kind of, like, you know, what this new version of him ends up being. But, you know, it's hard to gauge anything off the first press conference. He's obviously a guy that Raheem Morris trusts a lot. They go way back. You know, they've been friends for a long time. And he's also a guy that Robert Saleh, who's one of the best, you know, defensive minds in the NFL, trusted to be a defensive coordinator with the Jets. So, you know, we'll see where it goes.
We were just talking about the you know, the collaboration. God, I hate that word when it's used in the Falcons. But anyway, how they come up with the talent this year. So Ra and Jeff Ulbrich, once he does the evaluations and the personnel department, Carl and I were just talking off the air. The perception for years has been that Arthur Smith wanted Kyle Pitts, and maybe it was a great way. The general manager perhaps thought that it was a great way to start the relationship, and since there was so many needs, well, give the coach what he wants, which is a disaster. So how does this work? I mean, if there's a pie chart, who's making these decisions? Is it always falls on Fontenot?
I do think it really is that C word, collaboration, Mike. I really do. I mean, it has to be, right? I mean, it really has to be a collaboration. It can't just be certainly the general manager, the front office, you know, they're going to have probably the final say, but it's going to have to, you know, if you're going to draft a defensive guy in the first round, number 15, which I think everyone believes that the Falcons will and should do. If they don't, I don't know what's going on.
Right.
You have to consult the defensive coordinator, right? You have to. Yeah, because, how is this guy going to fit into the scheme, into the system that we're going to be running? What does he do well? You know, whether that's a pass rusher, which I think most people would imagine would be the first pick. It could be a corner. Who knows? But, you know, you have to kind of talk to the you know, the whole brain trust, so to speak, because the Falcons are also a team that, you know, they put a premium on human beings as well. You know, they want character guys coming in, so they have to have that intel as well, and they have to kind of run that by. So it really is, you know, the collaborative effort. I know that it gets said way too often in Flowery Branch, mm-hmm. but in that respect, I think it has to be.
We're talking with Mark Raimondi here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game about our Falcons, and as we start, you know, talking about the offseason and what this is going to look like. Now, we did hire a new defensive line coach. I do not know if you've had a chance to visit with him yet or not. But, you know, part of what I've been saying, Mark, is we got to develop Trice and Rook and Dorless and the guys mm-hmm. we've already mm-hmm. drafted. That's going to fall also on the plate of Jeff Ulbrich and our new defensive line coach, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And I was actually having this conversation with our pal, Mark Zinno, yesterday at Flowery Branch about how – you know, there's not going to be a ton of cap excess this offseason, right? That's fair to say. The players that are in the building, there's going to have to be a premium put on developing who's already there, right? Mm-hmm. And those are the guys, the Rook Aurora-Rose, the Braylon Trices who's coming back off the ACL tear, the Brandon Dorlesses who didn't get a whole lot of time this season, a J.D. Bertrand, you know, as far as an inside backer. But Kevin Ollie, you know, the new D-line coach, comes pretty highly regarded. That Houston Texans defense was quite good this year, and that defensive line was formidable. And, you know, on paper, that's an intriguing name. That's an intriguing guy to bring in to see if he can kind of develop some of the young players on the Falcons defensive line the way that he did in Houston. So that seems like a pretty big positive.
Yeah, one thing for certain, you know, when you look at the Texans, they've got some special guys they were able to draft over the years, too, which certainly does help in getting Danielle Hunter to come down in free agency and join Will Anderson. And if we can get anything like that, giddy up. By the way, we've talked about, we just mentioned Joel Corey, the capologist from CBS, was on with us the other day. You find that we will be able to make minimal moves in free agency, or you'll still be able to pull one or two big fish in?
You know, it's going to take some jockeying, right? It's going to take some restructuring. It's going to take a few players to you know, have their contracts kind of the tweaks. Yeah, that's a good word. You know, the salary cap is it can be nebulous at times, right? You know, there are ways around. You know, it's not always a hard and fast type of situation. So there will be opportunities for the Falcons to add and to get better, but. But I don't. I mean, last offseason, that you know, when you bring in a Kirk Cousins, you get Darnell Mooney, you get Charlie Warner. It's not. I don't think it's going to be a free agency like last season. I think it's going to have. You're going to hope to have a really good draft, and you're going to have to hope to again the guys that are in the building, the young players, even like an Arnold Ebiketie who's going into year three. Guys like that, you know, you have to get them better. You have to get them to, you got to coach them up. You got to develop them, and that's going to be a big key for the offseason as well.
So, on your front, any Cousins news? Anybody talk to this dude? Anybody seen him?
Right.
Have not. You know, have reached out to his agent several times since the end of the season because Kirk was not at the you know locker room cleanout day. He was not there, at least not for us to see. We didn't see him that day, the media. So don't know what's going on with him. You know, that March, that mid-March deadline is still there. You know, that's still about 6 weeks out, a little more than that, as to that $10 million roster bonus. And that's going to be, you know, I think we're probably going to find out stuff around that date as to what is going to happen, you know, as far as is going to be a release, are they going to try to trade him? But it sure sounds like, you know, judging by what Terry Fontenot said a few weeks ago, that the message to the rest of the league is we're not going to just give this, you know, we're not going to just drop this guy and have you pick him up for scraps. You know, you're going to have to try to trade for him if you want Kirk Cousins. We're comfortable having him as the backup. I don't think they're comfortable having him as the backup, if I'm being frank.
No.
You know, they're not. But that's the message to the league, right? If you're reading between the lines, you know, that's the message to the league. Like, hey, look, we're gonna hang on to this guy to see if we can get some kind of compensation for him.
I mean, I know it's early days. Mark Romani from ESPN.com with us here. I guess you could argue if you find a trade partner to make sense to get maybe try to accumulate some more picks. Because, again, the more picks you accumulate, you do have to make the payroll work. But the idea that, you know, in years past, we had A.J. Terrell. We tried to trade down. We wound up finding a guy that's a really good piece here. We got Chris Lindstrom in the 14th pick. So we've had some quality there. But the idea that maybe that wouldn't be the worst idea, I guess, to maybe try to pick up some more draft equity and move down a little bit if possible?
I can certainly see that being a plan because they could use some more picks. They traded the third rounder for Judon. They lost the fifth rounder for the tampering last year. So I could definitely see the front office trying to accumulate some draft picks at some point. There could be some trades. But yeah, I would say as of right now, I would be surprised if the Falcons did not have more picks than they currently do.
Yeah, I agree. They've got to maneuver that.
One more thing. We're just talking about roster. You mentioned restructuring some guys, and you know he's got a big contract. It was about $20 million hit next year. And every time I say this, Carl, I feel like Grady's going to come bust through the door like the Kool-Aid man and punch me in the head. You think that Grady's days could be numbered here, or you think that he's a guy they'd like to keep in the program?
I really don't feel that way. You know, I'd be surprised if I'm honest. I really think that he's just a guy that, you know, for so many reasons, even off the field, he's just a good guy to have. You know, he's a great guy in the community. He's a great guy in the locker room. He's really a leader on the team. There's no doubt. And he produced this year, not at the level maybe of previous years, but if you look at some of his like pass rush win rate numbers that ESPN puts together, you know, he was, you know, a top 15, top 20 guy on the interior line. Again, not maybe what, you know, you would want or what he was in his prime, but you know, he's still a guy that can produce. And there's also, you got to put the guys around him as well. You know, that's part of it too. David Onyema did not have a great year. A few good games, but did not have a great year overall. And, you know, he could use some help there. So I think he's a guy that, you know, they could potentially look to restructure. You know, that would not be a shock to me, but I would be pretty surprised if Grady Jarrett was not an Atlanta Falcon next year.
Well, I've been saying this as well. I think we don't have enough guys around him so he can be as successful as he'd like to be or we think he should be. But we will see how they all figure it out because that's another part of this. Hey, Mark, great job as always, man. We appreciate you. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Mark Raimondi.
Yeah, I know, and a guy hit me up just as soon as I said it on the text line. Why are you going again? No, I'm just trying to find some areas to look at and say, can you improve? And I thought, you know, he mentioned, yes, I feel the same way about Onyemata. I don't know what exactly how impressive folks think he was last year in this organization.
Yeah. Listen, we didn't make the playoffs.
I mean, when you're next to dead last in sacks every year, I mean, I don't know why anybody's untouchable on this team, I guess is my point.
Yeah, everybody put everything on the table and you look at it. That's what you do. You don't say, I'm putting this guy to the side. You look at everything. And if it fits, it fits. All right, coming up. He says, if you think that I can't operate outside my comfort zone, you're wrong. Find out who we're talking about coming up as part of our daily download next. Thanks to Mark Raimondi for stopping by. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. Padley, P-A-D-L-Y, buys.com. Hey, coming up, we got some NFL news to get to as part of our 4th and 1 segment at 3 o'clock. We will continue to break down a lot of the things that are going on and what John Harbaugh told his team in regards to their loss against Buffalo and moving forward. Very interesting stuff. Hey, Mike, you just mentioned, we were talking about this with Mark Raimondi about, you know, restructuring and part of this is, listen, when guys restructure, it doesn't mean they can't play. You're trying to financially help your team.
Right.
So, Mike, I don't think it's taboo to what you were saying earlier about guys coming at you. Listen, we love Grady. We know he's a beloved figure in this community. We understand he's homegrown. Grady damn near cried on our air when he got his contract.
Right.
Okay? We used to have Grady on all the time. We know him very well. But the reality is everything is on the table, and that's the way it should be. So if they have to restructure him, great. It doesn't mean that he sucks or he can't play anymore. So right. That's the distinction, Mike, is like when we start talking about how do we get better without, you know, moving on from some of our better talent, this is the way you do it. But there's also an inherent thing that comes with that, and that is if you restructure guys – eventually, it's going to catch up with you.
Right. Now, again, or you take a pay cut and you want to stay here in Atlanta.
Correct.
There's other options there. It's just, this is the debate that I've had. And some guys, we've had some analysts on who agree with me, some that don't. I always felt that Grady was miscast in a base 3-4. I know we've talked about it, don't get obsessed and hung up on that. But just felt like, you know, when he was part of a 4-3, good things happened. When he's around better, bigger guys, you know, he was a force multiplier. He was that guy. You know, I don't think Onyemata's been that great this last season. I think, you know, the guys around him, it just doesn't fit. You usually have a large mammal as part of a base 3-4, at least one that's bigger than what we've got, and then Grady can go do his thing. So always felt it's better if, you know, if it was a four-man front. Either way, it's a $20.3 million hit going into this year, and that's what I was saying earlier. I mean, AJ, you got his deal. We get that. Everybody else, I mean, this is Mark said 3. It's actually we're going into year 4 now for Arnold Ebiketie. So this is basically a contract year for Ebiketie. But for the most part, who and how could you even justify anyone, as I said earlier going to the break, not being, if not expendable, certainly debatable about bringing back when your defense has no impact? And that's where we stand. So I know, as you said earlier, some of these are some hard decisions.
They
are. And folks always get a little misty about certain players, as do we. But still, I mean, we got to get results, man.
Yeah. Well, maybe our backup quarterback will take a pay cut, Mike. Maybe you can adjust his money.
See, and therein lies.
Oh, you can't.
Therein lies the guaranteed portion of the deal.
Oh.
So if you look in, that's why a lot of fans feel he'll be happy. No, the Falcons are not going to have this guy earning that kind of coin as a backup. They'll do the best they can to mitigate the hit, even if it's $2 or $3 million off the books to get this guy somewhere else. And he didn't want to be a backup.
No.
He didn't go through all that rehab on his, whatever the hell that was last year, you know, to then now sit on the bench of the remaining 2 years of his career or year of his career.
I do think I keep saying that he will have options. The problem is, it's like all the bill collectors calling you knowing that you got bills due. They ain't going to stop calling.
No.
No one's going to give us what we want or need to allow this deal to take place. They're just going to wait it out. And that's just part of it. It's business. It's smart business. But I do think there is a market for Cousins. We've said this. There are numerous teams, guys. I know we hadn't talked a lot about this, but that need an upgraded quarterback, that need something they can count on. And I'm not talking about how it went south here. Right. His career, his resume says that's not who he was. And I think there's a GM, Mike, and a head coach who jobs or may be on the line who say, you know what, we are willing to take that risk. But we also are not willing to pay out and shell out the rest of this money to make this happen. So we'll just wait.
Now, the irony is Kirk Cousins is making $1 million, actually about exactly the same as Patrick Mahomes. So they're ranked at 12th highest as far as the overall, what your hit is on the cap, as far as quarterback pay. We know the young guys all got paid. You know, we talked about Trevor Lawrence. The Dolphins had to make a decision about Tua, all those guys. Goff got his deal. So if you want to look at a big picture, if you've got a team, because most folks don't consider this a great quarterback draft, at least not until there's maybe more work done between now and the draft itself. But right now, it's like two guys. So then you get into like the Jackson Darts and guys that maybe not.
Right.
You know, certainly, you know, that's why Carson Beck said, I'll come back and maybe get better. But the point I'm getting to is Kirk Cousins is the 12th highest paid quarterback. A team that can't find their guy this offseason, and that's why some people say, would Cleveland do it again? I can't speak to them. But there's some teams like the Vegas guys that are kind of in no man's land. They can't get to where they want to go.
Yes.
But the problem is, what's the marketability? That's why no one's going to give you any money for it. They'd rather wait for you to just cut this guy, and then they'll, you know, go pay in the league minimum like Russell Wilson got last year.
And then it costs us $65 million.
Right.
Because once you cut him, it goes up another
25. You just made the point. No one's going to do us a favor on this deal. I mean, fans are living in fantasy world on that.
So these are the things that we've got to work through. But it doesn't mean that they can't be worked through. And the big thing, as Mike mentioned, is, and we're going to have to just wait, when the new league year starts, what's the new number? Right? NFL gives itself a raise every year. That's what this is. That's how you can look at it, okay? Every year the NFL says, we're doing great business. Hey, what's our raise? It's 8%. And everybody's number goes up. If the number goes up $20 million, which we don't think it will, but even if it's 10 or 15, it will help mitigate some of this when you start saying, okay, hey, that gives us a little bit more money to play with. All right, guys, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Big O behind the glass. Chris is here as well, our executive producer. Let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
Everybody keeps asking what's wrong with the Hawks. Nothing. No Trae Young. No Dyson Daniels. No Jalen Johnson. Risha Shea has been out. Bogey wasn't hitting shots. I mean, you want me to continue? Mike, this is...
I thought we were a little soft on the ball.
That too. And when your team is not complete, you are going to lose games.
Yep.
This is kind of where we are. Now, they get a chance tonight to take on the Rockets. Don't know if you saw, but the Rockets beat the Celtics last night. I told you yesterday, they're a very good team. They're second in the West, so it's going to be a tough task. But last night, Mike, again, at least DeAndre Hunter showed up, right?
35 points last night, and he was listed as, like, was it probable, Chris, as you were doing like the Gap show last night before? Questionable. So he was not questionable. He was good last night, despite the fact he was listed as questionable. So, yeah, it's frustrating. We're just in a spot right now where – we're banged up with injuries. It's the same stuff. It just happened a little bit later this year. Usually last year, you know, okay, we're dead in the water by Christmas. This year we got a little bit further down the road. So don't know what we're going to try to do to make it right. Does this have any bearing on how the front office views what we may or may not do at the deadline? You know, maybe just swapping salaries, not taking on any salary because we don't want to get into those, you know, cap ramification aprons, yada, yada. But this is just a tough spot right now. You could lose seven in a row. You brought this up with the way the schedule falls. And this is the H-Town game is the makeup for the snow, right?
Yeah. It's tough, man. Let's hear Quinn Snyder talk about what was going on.
I thought we had obviously a rocky start. And just, you know, we knew we were going to compete. That's who our guys are. And I think as the game went on, we played better defensively and kind of found some stuff in transition. And then, gosh, we had some really good looks that if they go in, maybe there's a different outcome. But we certainly can't fault the effort.
They lose by 8, 100-92 on Monday night. Anthony Edwards had 23. Randall added 20 for the T-Wolves. Tonight, as we mentioned, is the Rockets. Let me hear the final call last night because I'll be honest, this was closer than what I expected. And to Quinn's point, Mike, they did compete.
So that's it from here. We'll pack the bags very quickly and get ready for tomorrow night's game. So, final score here in Minnesota. The Timberwolves, 100, and the Hawks, 92.
Steve Holman.
Yeah, they were down 17 at halftime. They cut it to 6 in the third, so you thought maybe kind of like that Bulls game where the other guys were going to step up, and unfortunately that wasn't the case. So, I mean, you know, guys, it was more Skyhawks in the mix. One thing, and you and I were talking about this before the show. Let me just bring this on the air. On the air. Guy brought this up on the text line, and he said, hey, you know, is it just me or has Clint Capella, you know, been better as a starter than coming off the bench? I mean, no, Clint was good, double-double, 10 and 15. His point was they've been losing because Okongwu's been starting. And I said, well, they've also been missing like three other starters on some nights. So I don't want to put it all on double O.
Yeah.
But Clint did last night. I know plus minus is like hockey. It's negligible. But he was in a plus last night when he was on the floor.
I agree. Listen, double O has probably won you three games over the last 2 weeks. With his effort, defensive effort, the energy. Guys, go back to the Celtics game where him and Tatum are tussling for the ball. And he kind of set the tone late in that game. And Tatum went, you know, he went absent. And all of a sudden, the Hawks are able to pull it out again. I think double O, they're splitting time, Mike, from what I understand. But I don't want to blame it on Clint, man. Like, you're telling me Clint Capella not being the starting lineup is why we've lost five in a row? No way.
It's just, you're just decimated with injuries, guys. And we don't have, you know, anybody who can do the things that you just don't have a consistent Jalen Johnson replacement. That's it.
That's it.
I mean, there's other things you can look at, and yeah, it helps when Trey's on the floor. He wasn't available last night. You're playing the Rockets. I just mentioned, is it Amen or Amen Thompson? He was Amen Thompson, hits the game winner last night. He said he felt like Kobe
yes.
beating the Celtics, and that's who you're getting. And you mentioned this the other day. Udoka is one of the best coaches in basketball. He got whatever happens in Boston, it's over and done with. He's a great coach, and the Rockets are insanely good under his leadership.
They drafted a lot of young athletic dudes a couple of years ago, and it's all coming together now because they got the right coach. You're right about that. Hey, let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
Mike, the highs around the NFL. Pete Carroll addressed this yesterday. I thought it was interesting as he was announced as the Raiders head coach, and it was his first time, you know, addressing the media there. He was asked about how involved Brady was in the process. This is Pete Carroll.
He's been integrally involved, you know, wherever I know that the process could allow him to be in. We haven't seen him. You know, he's not been here. He's got a big job. But he has been a really exciting part of it.
And John Spitzek, who him and apparently Brady went to Michigan together, so yep. They got a connection there. And he was talking about it, you know, about how they're kind of putting this thing together. He says, is to see what the NFL has been over the years. He said, we played the Raiders in Tampa because that's where he comes from as an assistant to Todd Light. So he knows, you know, the league, obviously. But you look at a team and you say, like, any team is going to compete, he's got to find a quarterback.
Right.
Which gets us back to, do you try to get a veteran? There's only a couple that are worth getting. Or do you say, I grow with another middle of the road? That's the thing. It's you want to go Desmond, not like us, Desmond Ridder. You second round, can you find a quarterback? You catch light. Everybody wants to catch lightning in a bottle like we thought we did with Ridder with Russell Wilson when he was in Seattle.
Yeah. You're rolling the dice. You really are. And by the way, Pete Carroll at 73. If I'm 73-year-old Pete Carroll, I'm not trying to wait 3 years to get a quarterback.
Right.
Let's go find our guy now and go compete. Meanwhile, the Cowboys' Jerry Jones, Mike, had this to say about the hiring of Brian Schottenheimer, saying, you think I don't go outside my comfort zone?
If you don't think I can operate out of my comfort zone, you're so wrong. It's unbelievable. This is as big a risk as you can take. As big a risk as you could take. No head coaching experience.
Yeah, we know.
He says this right in front of Schottenheimer, by the way.
We know.
This was akin to the press conference about 2 weeks ago where you had Shot Khan, right, with Trent Baalke going, well, Mr. Khan, what if a coach comes in and he has his own idea about general manager? Oh, yeah, we'd explore that. So Jerry just says, basically said, this is a huge risk. I mean, this guy, I don't know if Schottenheimer's going to work out or not.
Then why'd you hire him?
He could fall flat on his face. I don't know. I mean, yeah, and the story yesterday, we played the soundbite for you in Guy Talk. I mean, his son, Steven, saying that, you know, people, this perception that we're in this drought. Yes, you haven't been in the NFC Championship in 29 years, okay? This isn't like pick your woefully inept team like what Detroit was for decades. This is the Dallas stinking Cowboys with more money than Davy Crockett and all the resources. I know there's a cap, but it's just that thing was to me the most tone deaf thing I've heard anybody say in the NFL in about a year or two.
Let's hear from the guy that has no head coaching experience, Brian Schottenheimer.
I'm really good with X's and O's, but I'm great with people. And the type of men that we have in this locker room are excited about that.
Okay.
So
I'm really good with X's and O's.
Yeah.
Again, you wait. You let the McCarthy thing play out before you finally say, nah, we're not bringing him back. You let all the better candidates go. I mean, some would say, no, I think it's a bigger risk to go with maybe it is. Maybe Jerry's right. It's a bigger risk to go with Schottenheimer than Ben Johnson.
It is.
You know, it's just, come on. What the hell?
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, I don't care anymore. I got to be honest with you, brother. If you're living in Dallas, you feel like you're banging your head against the wall.
Oh, they are.
It's rinse, repeat.
Yeah.
It's an endless cycle of terrible decisions.
Well, and at some point, what happens, and you know, if you grew up with it or you've had it, you've been a Cowboy fan all your life, Mike, at some point you disconnect. That's what's going to happen because it just catches up with you. And, you know, everybody wants change, but it's not going to happen as long as Jerry's there. Hey, by the way, speaking of the Cowboys, they hire former Bears coach Matt Eberflus. Now, he was with the Cowboys, for those who don't know, between 2011 and 2017 as a linebackers coach. He worked for Jason Garrett's staff. So there's familiarity there. Eberflus was not ready to be a head coach. He got his shot. But, Mike, he was a pretty good assistant. And so the Cowboys bring him back to be the D.C. Under Brian Schottenheimer. So that news happened today. We got more NFL news on the way here as we'll get to our fourth and one segment. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Also coming up a little bit later on, we're going to talk with Lauren Williams. She covers our Atlanta Hawks for the AJC and AJC.com. Rockets in town tonight. Then they take on Cleveland on Thursday. We mentioned this Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And all of these games, there are no gimmies. So, Hawks got to find a way to pull it out. We'll talk with Lauren Williams coming up a little bit later on. 3 o'clock hour straight ahead.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.